Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy, and welcome to episode 9 of season 3. If you do have any show topic ideas or any feedback, please email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me this week are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder and chief executive warrior Rick Parisi, Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach Rob Boyle, and our guest for today, Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy alum Jason Brent. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you, Austin?
I'm very good, thanks. And Rob, how are you?
All good, my friend.
Good, good, good. And Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, good. Thanks for joining us today as we do a player profile. So before we start firing some questions away at Jason, let me go ahead and introduce him. He is just over 50 years old and lives in Helena, Montana. He did grow up in Southwest Missouri, never had any involvement with the game of hockey until a few years ago when he was shooting some photography for some youth sports there in Montana. He began shooting a lot of hockey and he liked the entertainment value of it, but never really thought about playing. Fast forward a little bit till 2021 when he was talking with another hockey parent who was also into photography, and he mentioned how much fun it looked like to play hockey and wondered what kind of hockey player he might have been had he grown up playing hockey. This person said, you know, it's never too late. They have Hockey 101 and it's a blast. So that inspired him, and he went from never having thought about learning to play hockey to being completely obsessed with the idea in an instant. And I'm sure plenty of people out there who are listening to this can relate to that. So Jason found Weekend Warriors on the internet and signed up for the Austin, Texas camp last year. And he arrived to camp with 2 whole months of skating under his belt. And in 2022, he attended his second Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy camp in Park City, Utah. So Jason, again, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Anything I missed on that you wanted to throw out there?
No, that pretty much covers it. Okay. That whole experience was like a lightning bolt hit me. It was the strangest experience that I was sitting there and never even thought about hockey or playing it. And then suddenly it was like a switch flipped and totally obsessed with it. And I was lucky that I got to get in, learn to skate that spring and got in a couple Hockey 101 classes before they took out the ice. But now it's been a great experience.
All right. Well, with that, let's talk a little bit about how you only had a couple of months going into the first camp you went to. So obviously you didn't have any like bad habits or anything like that. What would you say your experience was at that very first camp you went to with only a couple months skating under your belt?
Yeah, I think I had nothing but bad habits. Whatever things I was doing, it was wrong. You know, I hadn't had a lot of experience, but what I really got out of the first camp was direction. That, I was green. I was really green. But I really wanted to learn. I wanted to learn fast. And the camp gave me direction in terms of showing me those things, the skills I needed to have, the fundamental basics of hockey that I needed to learn. And so when I came back home, I had a plan. I had a direction in terms of, here are the skills I need to develop, and here are drills I can work on to develop those skills. And that was really valuable.
Yeah, we'll get to kind of delving into that very specific part in a little bit. So what would you say after you came back, if you could put a percentage on things that you were actually able to absorb and to start practicing within that first year as a new skater to camp? What would you say you absorbed while you were at that first camp and in the year after that?
Yeah, I think there are certain things, certainly the basic skating drills were things that most of them I tried over the last year. Some of them I hadn't quite gotten up the courage to do. But when I came into camp, I'd played one pickup game. So my history of playing hockey was limited. It still is pretty limited. I haven't played that much hockey. But I still learned, I'd been watching YouTube videos and trying to learn what I could. And so from the chalk talks, learning about positioning and things, that some of it was a little foreign to me. But, in terms of absorbing, working on edges and forwards and backwards and forward crossovers, backwards crossovers, I got to work on those things and just keep it, the progress has been really gradual. But to keep hammering at home and working on those fundamentals.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you went back a year later, and what would you say, can you describe at all the difference between the two camps and maybe your confidence level, both entering the camp and leaving the camp?
Yeah, night and day. That it was a very different experience this year. Not that I had developed some bad habits, and I got to learn about some of those at camp. But what I came away with camp this year was really focus, that things that I had been neglecting to work on, I had kind of been in a rut, I think, in terms of my development, and I'd gotten into some bad habits of going to stick and pucks and just shooting, you know, shot after shot after shot, and really kind of not working on the skating drills I really need to be working on. So going to camp and doing some of those drills really, really illuminated those areas, like, wow, and you really need to work on certain things. And so now that I've come back home, I have more of a priority of things that I need to be working on, and much more motivated to work on those things now. And I was working on them last night at Stick and Puck after work. So
just to chime in, Austin, Jason won the very prestigious Weekend Warriors Sucks Less Award at the
excellent
Park City camp. Because, you know, Rob and I both noticed, you know, how much he improved. Rob was like, I can't believe like how much he improved from when he came to the Austin camp. So it was like just a giant improvement.
Yeah. So you guys were at both camps that he attended.
Yep.
And yeah. Okay. Rob, anything you want to add to that? Just with, anything you saw in him, or, I mean, to me, this is a bigger message, and this is why having somebody like Jason on is so important. I think for you guys and for people who listen to this, and we've talked about it, they're like, oh, I've only played for a few months. I don't really want to go to camp yet. It's not the right time. But, you know, I think between Rick and Rob, you guys have so many stories of people that it is the right time and why it's the right time.
Well, I think I'll agree with Jason. He was very green when he came to Austin last year. That being said, I mean, he was determined. I think you improve as much as you want to improve, and you have to have the desire and the want to get better. And I mean, most of our campers are like that. They want to get better, but it does take time. And we stress at every camp that for any one skill, it takes a lot of repetitions to become really good at it. And, when we saw Jason in Park City, just like Rick said, we're both looking at each other like, wow, like he's really improved. And, it makes what we do worth it for sure. When you see someone like that who was really new to skating and to hockey, in 2021 and in 2022, you see that much improvement over the course of the year. There's someone who is determined to get better, who has a passion for the sport. And it makes our job much more fun, and just kind of reaffirms what we're doing is the right things we're doing, and the message is getting across. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, and what you were saying,
we're recording this right. We're recording this right, so I can go back and listen to this over and over and over and over again.
It's not part of the historical record.
Hey, Austin, so like what you were saying about people like not wanting to come to camp. So it takes a certain amount of courage to come to camp.
Yeah.
You know, not this year for Jason, but last year, right? Like he'd been playing for 2 months, and you hear that a lot from people. It's like, oh, I'm not ready for camp, like you said. But the fact is that if, as long as you don't mind, you know, maybe being, you know, one of the worst people on the ice, you have the steepest curve in terms of improvement, right? Like you're improving exponentially. You're going to gain the most. So first of all, it's a very welcoming community, right? The people aren't going like, oh, that guy sucks, I'm not going to give him the puck, or, you know, he's slowing things down. It's like, no, everybody's like, yeah, I was there like, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I remember. So when they come out, they have the most upside, right? Like that they get the most out of camp because of the fact that there's so much to learn, and they're not learning shit the wrong way, right? Like they're not like learning stuff, you know, figuring it out on their own and getting it wrong and then having to fix it. So Jason said he came in with bad habits, but, you know, it was just not knowing how to do things, and he didn't, you know, probably, you know, he was like, oh, this is how you have to do it. And he learned it the right way, yeah, starting 2 months into his journey.
Yeah, I think that on that point, at least from my experience, having started, you know, coming into camp, just, you know, as a very beginner, that in listening to other episodes, podcasts about that resistance, some people who are beginners about going to camp, that, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, I was terrible, but I was good enough. I could do 12 hours, yeah, of ice time, and I was in decent enough shape to be able to do it. And I just think that most people get more out of the game when they're learning and they're improving. Certainly that would be true for a beginner. And it's a natural feeling. I know how it is to feel that way, but it is not a good reason not to come to camp. That don't rob yourself of that joy of learning and enjoying the game more just because you're a little afraid of thinking you're not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, I had played before for a few years and took a few years off and then a couple of years. And then I was scared to go to camp and it would turn out great. So,
I mean, somebody's got to be the worst skater there. So true. Why not you?
Yeah.
You know? And who cares? Yeah. If
it is. Well, it used to be Rick for years.
Doubt.
It used to be Rick was the worst skater for years.
Ouch.
And then, just so you know, Austin, that Jason is catching up to you as far as outside edges.
I'm sure he is.
So I'm just putting that out there that you better get your act together and get back at it.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, we could get into me, but we won't. Let's keep it on Jason here. So kind of following that, kind of what you were talking about at the very end there, Jason, what would you say as you've come out of both of these camps at this point, or you can have a couple if you want, biggest challenges that you see for your development, whether it's a specific skill, a specific situation during a game, anything like that?
Well, I think first the biggest challenge is just to keep my body in working order. That I got all sorts of aches and pains and a knee that pops every time when I push off and a bad back that flares up from time to time, that keeping myself on the ice and out of the physical therapist's office, I think, is the biggest challenge. And I think too, just, you know, I'm not as mobile as I was when I was young. I was never, I would say, fearless, but I think I probably have more fear now than I did when I was young. And so some of those things are certainly more difficult at my age, that certain skating techniques that I haven't really learned yet that have you open your hips, and like, you gotta have a crowbar to open my hips. So Rob may want to bring one of those to the camp next time and work on my Crosby turns, yeah, or whatever, with getting those hips open. But I think that's okay. The biggest challenge, I think, two is getting some playing time, you know, that I've only played, how many games of 5-on-5 have I played? Not even 10, you know, so getting that game experience is tough too sometimes with a tight schedule.
So all that kind of goes into the next thing, which is there's a lot of challenges there, obviously, and we've talked about it on the show multiple times for everybody, but what does keep you motivated to keep playing?
When you take up hockey in your 50s, you know, the clock's ticking, you got to get moving. So I don't have any good years I have left, but so that's certainly one thing to keep me motivated. But it's the biggest thing is that it's just rewarding to take up a new challenge and to get better at it. And like I said, my progress has been very gradual, but my mindset has been to celebrate the small victories. And I don't know how many times I've come back from the arena and told my wife I got a little bit better today, or I tried something I haven't tried today. Last night, I tried some stuff I hadn't tried before, you know, at a stick and puck. And that's rewarding. That's fun. And I think, too, I found out I just like to skate. And that's been a plus. And it's a great workout. I'm a cross-country skier, and I use the skate technique. And I've always struggled for something in the off-season that would work my skate muscles and give me a good workout. And hockey is exactly that. It's you know, high intensity, and my legs have never been stronger, so I'm much more prepared when the snow falls to get into cross country ski season for certain.
Yeah, nice. It's a cross training tool for you, so that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned before, able to bring stuff back to camp, which is the goal. They don't teach you all that stuff just so you can forget it and just go play pickups for a year. But what would you describe your process? So when you go to something like a stick and puck, or even when you go to a game or something like that, what's your process? And it may be evolving and may not always work out, but what do you use to improve your skills?
I try to skate when I can, either stick and pucks or an open skate. And I'm pretty lucky that I work. My office is like 5 minutes away from the ice arena. So if they have an open skate over lunch, I can get down there and get a workout in. But, you know, stick and pucks, open skates. And I think my process was probably better when I was going to the open skates, that I think my improvement in my skating skills really accelerated a lot when I was doing that. More recently, the process has been going to stick and puck and just firing wrist shot after wrist shot. So I need to get out of that habit. But, you know, trying to skate when I can, I try to watch YouTube videos. There are a lot of really interesting YouTube videos that really help. And I'll video myself from time to time. And I think I have a pretty good ability of looking at my own video and diagnosing my own faults and areas I need to work on. But that's where camp comes in, is that my ability to diagnose those areas and those the problems I have and things I need to work on is not nearly as good as the coaches at Weekend Warriors. That having a professional eye look at you and give you feedback is something YouTube video just can't do.
Yeah, absolutely. So at this point, you know, is there anything, Jason, you wanted to talk about? Any questions, anything like that you wanted to ask these guys, or just bring up anything from your experience that you wanted to push across to the listeners out there?
Yeah, a few questions. First is, I wear a face shield. How do I keep that from fogging up? I need help.
Do you put anything on it?
I've tried using like dish soap and washing it that way. I have a fog spray that doesn't really seem to work that well.
Yeah, I find out it's related to the humidity. You know, like when I lived back east, you know, it was hard to use that. Now I live out in the desert pretty much, and it's most days. But like last couple weeks ago, we had a kind of a more humid weather, and it was fogging up on me pretty good. So. It's kind of tough when it's like that, but the dish soap or the fog spray is about as good as you can do.
Yep. I would agree with that.
I had a question about skates. So when I went to my first experience buying skates was really frustrating. I'd had my foot scanned at a store and I tried those models and I just didn't feel comfortable at all. And I bought another brand that was like, okay, this has got to be the right fit. And I went out and skated and my feet were numb. I'm like, okay, this can't be it. And so I settled on a pair that felt more comfortable, but probably not the right fit. I think they're probably maybe a little too big, I guess. Any tips in the future when I go to buy replace the skates I have? Any do's and don'ts or tips you can give in terms of getting the right fit for skates?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple things. One, make sure the skate is appropriate for you. So you don't want a real stiff boot, like a pro or a top end skate that's going to be really stiff and difficult to break in. You want to find that mid-range skate, mid-price range that's going to break in for your style of skating. You want to make sure that they not only check the length, but check the width of your skate, like the width of your foot. I think that's probably just as important as the length. So make sure they check your width as well. And then, like you said, is it comfortable on my foot? I think that's the key thing. You want to make sure that it's comfortable. If you're putting it on the skate and it's tight and it's not like, it just doesn't feel good. If it doesn't feel good, it's probably the wrong skate. When I used to fit skates, we would have you put your toe to the toe cap just so it's touching, so I can see how much space you had at the back. But you want your heel locked into the heel. And then you want to have maybe like a quarter inch of room for your toes. You don't have to be right at the toe cap. And if they're telling you that, I don't think that's correct at all.
Yeah. And so you mentioned, you know, higher end skates. That what do you get for paying up I guess, for higher end skates. And I'm not talking about, you know, spending $1,000 on skates, but.
Yeah, some of them are just stitched a little differently for a little more durability. Some of the materials could be different. I haven't bought a pair of skates in a while, so it's, and I'm probably a couple of years behind on what's out there now, but yeah, just different materials, like I said, different stitching, stiffness. Someone who is a, someone who's skating every single day and is a junior player, college player, pro player, they want to have that stiffness, so there's a lot more support. They obviously can get down really low. They're putting a lot of pressure in the skate, so they want to have that. So you want, and something like that would be like for any of our weekend warriors, anybody who goes out and buys a high-end skate, like the highest end skate, is probably doing themselves a disservice, unless they're a really good skater and they're skating every day, because they're just going to be stiff. It's going to take forever to break in, even if you get them heated up and molded.
You can find certain brands, I won't say who they are, that allow you to skate for a period of time on them. And if you don't like them, you get a full refund. So something to think about. Maybe you can find something. And then, of course, the fit systems have all changed, especially Bauer and CCM. We touched on it a little bit with their, I think it's called like slim or tapered normal and wide for CCM, and then 1, 2, and 3 for Bauer. So it's totally different than what people were used to. In the old days in Bauer, you'd buy your skate based on your foot. If you were had a skate, a narrow foot, you'd buy a Vapor. If you had a regular foot, you'd buy a Supreme. If you had a wide foot, you'd buy a Nexus. They totally got rid of that. So that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, it's funny reading the descriptions of some of the different skate lines. They have, oh, for, you know, if your agility and quick turns, or if your yep. power is like,
oh yeah,
I'm not really either of those.
Right. Hey man, I've done the same thing. I'm like, well, I don't know which one I am. So, but anyway, we're good.
Well, I think that's what Rob said about the stiffness. Like, people make that mistake. Maybe make the same mistake with sticks, right? Like, if you're not super strong and, you know, really, like, you just don't need that stiffness, and it's just a, you know, it takes away from the comfort and, you know, makes it more difficult.
Like, CCM SuperTax line is designed to be sticks. You get their pro model to be stiff. If you get their pro model, you are going to get the stiffest skate that is made, period. If you get there one level down, it's a little less stiff. And then by that point, now you're getting into, well, what the pro model of their FT4 line is, of their that line. And then you get into the rib core, which is totally different. Same thing with Bauer. With it is very confusing, but I will tell you, I've known several people who've gotten CCM SuperTax and they cannot skate in them because they are so stiff. So probably a model to avoid if I were you, if you think that's stiffness is going to be a problem. But that's just my 2 cents. So what else you got?
I guess last question is, see, if I'm watching hockey on TV and I'm not watching as a fan, so I'm not watching a Colorado Avalanche game, if I'm wanting just to watch to learn, what are some things that I should focus on?
What position do you normally play?
Forward.
Either the forward positions or one in particular, or are you right wing, left wing, center, all three?
All three.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would try watching the forwards to see what they're doing on a breakout. Look for them moving to, you know, different positions in the offensive zone when they have offensive possession. You know, they're not standing still. They're moving to position, moving to get open, moving to make themselves available for the puck. You know, pay attention to the little, you know, maybe not focus on the puck, focus on the other two forwards to see what they're doing. You know, I think when everybody has the puck, they kind of have an idea of what they should do. That's without the puck. Well, what do I do when I don't have the puck? That's a question we get a lot of weekend warriors. Like, what do I do in this situation, or what I do in that situation? Pay attention to the players without the puck, as opposed to the player with the puck, would be one thing I would suggest. Same thing on breakouts. You know, where are they on the wall? Pay attention to their shots. You know, where they're shooting from, the type of shots they're taking. Are they handling the puck before they shoot, which they're probably not. So they're not overhandling the puck. There's lots. I can go into greater detail, I'm sure, passing. you know, so receiving, all those things. But I mean, just from a position standpoint, look at the players without the puck and see where they are.
Yeah. And you, like you mentioned, you have to be willing to watch the game as if you're not following the action, that you're doing what Rob said. Okay. Where the puck is irrelevant. Where the players are is what I'm looking at. So you are going to miss out on some of the fun, but if you're watching to learn, and I was going to ask you that earlier actually, was how much hockey you've watched. Cause that can be obviously with your question invaluable, for your development, if you're doing it properly. So
I've watched a lot of Colorado Avalanche hockey over the last year and a half. It's been awesome.
That you're going to watch as a fan, well, right? Because that's your team.
Well, that's one of the things that getting into the world of hockey, given that I had no connection to hockey before last year, is that, well, I got to have a pro team to follow. And I used to live in Denver, and I lived there in 2001 when they won the Cup that year. And I can watch almost all the games on the Altitude Network. That I watched a lot of Colorado Avalanche hockey, and that's been a lot of fun.
Not a bad team to watch.
Some very good hockey they play, that's for sure. All right. So anything else to close up, Jason, that you wanted to talk about?
And that's it for me.
Okay. Well, awesome. And so I'm going to turn it over to Coach Rob real quick. Anything you wanted to throw in there from a coaching perspective before we kick it over to Rick?
No.
Perfect. All right. Short and sweet. Well, I think that covers it. Rick and Rob, anything else you guys want to talk about before we go?
Nope. I don't think so.
Very good. All right. Well, Jason, again, thanks so much for coming on. I think it's a great opportunity for somebody who is new to hockey to hop in and go to a camp and tell their story, because I think it's important for those who are just getting started. So,
well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And thanks to all the listeners for checking us out at Weekend Warriors Hockey. We do hope you enjoyed the episode, and I look forward to learning more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have any show topics or questions, go ahead and email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. And we hope you can leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep working hard at improving each time you're out on the ice.